Hi there, and thanks for listening to our very first Adulting is Easy podcast. My name is Lauren, and I manage the Adulting is Easy blog. I'm joined today in my parents' house by my little sister, Jenny.
Hello, my name is Jenny. I'm a high schooler, and my sister and I here are 13 years apart. So she's helping me get ready for my future and learn a thing or two about adulting.
Yep, so our goal for today is to make adulting a bit easier for my little sister here by explaining a personal finance topic to her, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today we're going to discuss credit and credit scores, and Jenny hasn't really prepped for this at all. She's basically going to just be reacting to what I'm saying. So are you ready, kiddo?
Yeah, let's get rolling.
All right, so here we go. So at its core, credit is based on trust. And it's the trust that allows one person to provide resources to another person, and then that second person is not going to pay for those resources right then, which means that that second person is taking on a debt to the first person. And that person, that second one, the one who's taking on the debt, is either going to pay for those resources later or return those resources to that other person later. So, for example, let's say, Jenny, you and I go out to lunch and I forget my wallet. We could agree that you will pay for my lunch and then I'll pay you back later. You, in that case, would be extending me credit because you trust me to pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Like a temporary loan.
Yes, exactly. Because you trust me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of course. So let's look at like a more historical example. So let's say that you were a patron at the town store. And you either paid or maybe bartered for everything you needed from that store for months and months and months. One day, you want to take more items with you than you can pay or barter for at that time. You would go to the store owner and ask if you could pay later. The owner has known you for a period of time and knows you're a good customer because of your history, and he agrees, yeah, sure, take more with you. He's then going to be extending you credit. So in both of those examples, Jenjo, there's somewhat of a relationship between the lender and the borrower. But what if there was no relationship? Jenny, what if you were out to lunch with me, but it wasn't me that couldn't pay? What if it was the guy one table over? Would you buy his lunch if he agreed to pay you back later?
Well, that's a little sketchy, considering it would be a stranger. So, no, I don't think that's a good deal there.
Yeah, exactly. If there's no relationship, how can the lender know if the borrower can repay the debt? And nowadays, it wouldn't be a store that would be extending credit to its patrons. There are middlemen involved. Increasingly, there's no relationship between the lender, which, for example, could be a credit card company, a bank, or a credit union in the borrower. So that's where credit scores come in handy. Make sense? Are you tracking?
Gotcha.
All right. So let's talk then about credit scores. So the most well-known credit score is called a FICO score, and that comes from the Fair Isaac Corporation. And today I'm going to explain basically that one to you, because that's the most popular one. So there are three major credit reporting agencies, and these are sometimes referred to as CRAs, because that's their acronym. And those are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. So these CRAs are going to collect consumer credit information and then sell it to businesses in the form of a report, a credit report, which you've probably heard of before. So the CRAs get their data from businesses, public records, and things like that. So FICO generates three versions of the score based on information from the three different CRAs. And these scores are made up of five categories, and those categories have different weights. Are you with me?
Yep, following.
Good. So I'm gonna, I guess, talk to you about the categories, and we'll do the categories in order of weight, right? So the first one is payment history. And this makes a lot of sense, something that we all would have guessed was reflected in our credit score. So this includes on-time and late payments on your credit accounts. So there's also going to be public records that are related to non-payments, like bankruptcies. So these credit reporting agencies are going to take all of that into account. So it's a pretty simple idea, right? Pay and pay on time, and you'll have good credit. And this is going to be the most weighted category of your credit score. Is going to be your payment history. How good of a payer are you on your debts? The second category is your amounts owed. And this has a weight of 30%. So the amounts owed on your credit accounts, and this could be installment loans, like your auto or your car loan, or your mortgage and credit cards. It's also going to take into account your utilization rate. And the utilization rate is how much credit you're using compared to what is available to you. So if you think about it, pretend, and this would be cool, right? Imagine if you went and got approved for a credit card with a $5,000 limit, right? It's better for your credit to utilize 2,000 of that than it would be to utilize 4,900 of it. Does that make sense? So that's going to affect your amounts owed category of your credit score. Again, the weight on that second category is 30%. Category number three, with a weight of 15%, is your length of credit history. And this was something that is going to affect you when you're young, no matter what you do, basically. And this has to do with the age of your accounts. So it's going to take into account your oldest account, your newest account, and the average age of all of your credit accounts.
Oh, wow. Yep. I didn't realize I was affected by this already.
I know. So my oldest credit card I got when I was 18 years old. So I've had that credit card for 11 years, and I try to use it like once a year. So basically, the longer you've had your accounts, the better. The length of credit history, it's also going to be impacted by how often you're using your other accounts. So for example, I have a credit card to one of the big box home improvement stores. And I try to use that when I shop at that store to keep that one going so I don't go too long without using it.
What happens if you stop using it?
Well, a couple of things could happen. One, your credit score could just go down because you're not utilizing any credit. So it's kind of a delicate balance. We were just talking about utilization, right? You don't want to use all of it, mm-hmm. but you also don't want to use none. Right. Something that can happen is they can close your card, right? That home improvement store could come to me and be like, hey, Lauren, you haven't used your card in 5 years. Probably they'd give me a warning. They would say you need to use it in the next 6 months. Or they could say, we're just going to close it. And then that affects your credit because your average age isn't as long anymore, right? Probably. Mm-hmm. Because this old account now has been canceled. So you need to use them, but not too much. So that's category number three, length of credit history. Again, that's a weight of 15%. So the last two categories are credit mix and new credit. And these are both weighted equally. These are both 10%. So your credit mix, and this is when I was doing the research on this and writing this blog, this was the most interesting part for me, I think, because I didn't really know about it. So you want to have a mix of different accounts. You don't want to only have credit cards or somehow only have mortgages or only have car loans or only have student loans, right? You want to have a mix. So you want to have credit accounts, mortgage loans, maybe retail loans like the one I have with that home improvement store. And the last one is new credit, and that has to do with new credit inquiries and recently opened accounts. That's literally every time you, Jenny, say you go to a store or you go online and you try to get approved for a credit account, that's going to decrease your credit every time you take the hit. But that's only a weight of 10%, so it's not that bad. And they've actually made some changes recently. It used to be, so when you go to get approved for a house, for a mortgage, it used to be maybe you shop it around. Maybe you check with this bank and they run your credit. Check with another bank, they run your credit. You check with another one. Every time it used to decrease your score 5 points. They've actually made that better recently that the CRAs know that you are then looking for a house. So if you do it multiple times in a short period, they won't hit you every time now, which is nice. When I got my first house, they were still doing that. How you doing?
Good.
You on top of it?
I am, actually. I'm surprised.
So can you tell me what the five categories are? Were you listening?
Oh, I couldn't. Okay. So the first category would be your payment history.
Second?
The second one would be the amounts owed. The third would be the length of credit history. The fourth being credit mix. And then the fifth being new credit.
Good job. You're taking good notes over there. So we talked about FICO scores, the CRAs, the categories, and the weights that go into your credit. Let's talk about the scoring part of it, right? We talked about credit. We talked about what goes into your credit scores. But a score, after all, is a number. And this is something, right? So pretend we're back at that. We're out getting lunch and that guy says, hey, can you pay for my lunch? You could be like, yeah, what's your credit score? And then I'll think about it. So scores, and I got this information according to Credit Karma. There's a lot of different information out there about it, but I'm just going to use those. And it'll give us at least a good approximation. So the scores range from 300 to 850. And you can break those down into different tiers. So I'll start with the worst and head to the best. So bad credit, according to Credit Karma, is basically going to be 300 to 579. And this is going to make it difficult for you to get any credit whatsoever. You're basically going to have to pay cash for everything. You're not going to be able to have a credit card. You're not going to get a mortgage. You're not going to get an auto loan. It's just not going to work. Because you've probably made some poor credit decisions in the past.
So what would you have to do to, like, mess that up so bad?
Maybe bankruptcy or getting your car repossessed, going to collections on credit, on your credit cards. Maybe even, and this is getting to be a bigger problem, would be medical debt. So this is kind of funny. This is a side note. So I'm 30 now. When I was 23, I got my tonsils out and dad said he'd pay for it. Like, no problem. Except he paid for half of it and then, like, just forgot to pay for the other half.
Oh no.
And then, it went to collections. And so my credit dropped 100 points. It went from 730 to 630.
Oh, wow.
That really sucked. And then I went to buy a car, right? The car that dad had gotten me when I was 16 was not, you know, wasn't cutting it anymore. I had no AC in Florida for years. And so I went to go buy a car and I didn't get approved because of that. So now it didn't take me too long to build it back up. Actually, dad, when I told him about it, he paid for the other half of the surgery. And then
your credit reverted back.
Yeah, it went back up over time. Because of all those things we talked about, good payment history, not utilizing too much, having good credit length, a good credit mix, not getting too much new credit, right?
So even if you paid the other half of, like, the tonsil bill, would you still be able to, like, bring it up even if you took that hit?
I think it brought it up a little bit, but not very much. Okay. Just that when something goes, like, there's a difference between missing a car payment and your car getting repossessed. Right? Okay. That repossession, or in my case, the tonsil surgery going to collections, that's when you get a really big hit, not kind of the smaller ones like that. So that's just a side note. Where were we here? Okay, bad credit. So we talked about bad credit. Fair credit. This is going to give you a little more options in terms of borrowing than having that poor credit that we talked about. But you're still going to pay higher interest rates and you're not going to have as many options for cards or loans or whatever. And that's going to be 580 to 669. So then we get into good credit. And you definitely want this to kind of be your bare minimum of credit that you have. And that's 670 to 739. And this is going to give you a lot more choices and you're going to have pretty good interest rates at that point that are offered to you. The next level is very good credit. And this is 740 to 799. And this is going to give you access to, according to Credit Karma, most rewards, credit cards, and the lowest interest rates offered. The level above that is excellent, 780 to 850. And this is going to be guaranteed lowest rates, but really your options are not that much better than the level before that. So basically, you want to at least have a score of 670. And once you get to 740 and above, you're in good shape. You're going to have low interest rates. You're going to have good loans available to you. But generally, as a rule, the higher your credit score, the more options you have for borrowing, the less you'll pay in interest.
Sounds like a deal.
Yep. So we've covered what credit is in general, the categories that go into your credit score, the weights of those categories, and then what the scoring looks like and what those numbers are. So that's basically all I've prepared for us today. Now, Jenny and everybody listening knows about credit and credit scores. What was the most interesting thing you learned today?
It kind of took me aback when I heard that I was kind of affected by this right now. Because, like, oh, I have a credit score. I guess I need to really focus on that already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even an adult yet. I'm 16 years old, and still I can be affected by this and impacted by it. So
right. And you're going to be affected. Your length of credit history is going to be affected purely by your age for a little while, because mm-hmm. it's not like you were applying for credit cards when you were four. So, in conclusion, you can find the Adulting is Easy blog, credit scores, what they are, why they matter, and how to improve yours. We posted that on October 3rd on the website, realadultingiseasy.com. And in that blog, you'll find 10 steps to improve your credit as well.
If you're interested in this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at adultingiseasy.
Yep, and you can even email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com. So thanks again for listening. Hopefully we've made adulting a little easier for you.